It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farad. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we want to hear about your favorite movie to re-watch. Tell us about a movie you can watch time and time again. You can start now with an email, ideas@wpr.org. First, Wisconsin election officials are in a dispute with Republican lawmakers over a practice known as ballot curing. The process makes it possible to correct mistakes on absentee ballot envelopes, things like missing address information on witness signatures. GOP lawmakers say under state law, only the voter is allowed to fix those errors. But the Wisconsin Election Commission has given guidance as far back as 2016, allowing local election clerks to fix some of these mistakes. We're taking a closer look at how ballot curing works in Wisconsin and how changes could affect upcoming elections where absentee voting is already underway. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Should local clerks be able to correct some mistakes on mail-in ballots or fill in missing info, a zip code if they know it, for example, for an address that wasn't quite complete? Or is that something that only the voter should be able to do? Have you encountered these problems yourself as a voter or working on an election staff? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Rob Yablon is an associate professor of law at UW-Madison and co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you.
I gave the basics of ballot curing. I think there, Rob, could you flesh it out for us a little bit? What do we mean by that?
Yeah, that was a good introduction. I mean, when we're talking about ballot curing, we're talking about correcting errors or omissions on absentee ballots to make sure that they're legally compliant and can be counted. So, you know, voters who have voted absentee before will know that there's a certification form on the outside of the absentee ballot envelope that they complete and return with their ballot. They have to sign and date it, and they have to have a witness sign and date it, and the witness also has to put on their address. And if that form is not adequately completed, their ballot isn't valid. Now, there are some omissions that only a voter or the witness can correct. And so if the voter fails to sign it, if a witness fails to sign it, that's not something that a clerk can fix. If the clerk notices in advance, the clerk can hopefully send that ballot back to the voter and let the voter correct it. If the voter's in the area, the clerk might be able to call them and tell them that they're going to have to come in and add that signature. The controversy that we're seeing right now is what happens if there is an incomplete witness address on that certification form. 6 years ago, back in 2016, the Elections Commission issued guidance to clerks saying that they should make reasonable efforts to obtain missing address information. And if they're able to find it, they are allowed to fill in that missing information themselves. And that would make the ballot valid. And, you know, so that was guidance that in 2016 was issued by the commission unanimously on a bipartisan basis, but it's become much more controversial today.
Yeah, let's spell this out a little more. Say we've got a voter, Rob Roberts, and they fill in their name, Rob Roberts, their street address, but not the city and zip code. And they sign it, of course. So with this definition of ballot curing, under those 2016 rules from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the person at the clerk's office could look up that street address, say, oh yeah, that's a city in our town, Townville. And then we only have one zip code here. I can write that in. That is, on a very practical level, how this could function.
Exactly. You know, so one thing that someone might do is they just write in their street address, but they don't write in the name of the municipality, and the clerk might know, oh yeah, that is indeed a street in our town. They might even check to see, and in fact, I see that the witness is a registered voter at that address, and with a reasonable amount of confidence, they can say, okay, we know that it is in our town, and they write in the town name. You know, they're not trying to hide this. The instruction is that they're supposed to initial next to it, so there's a record. The clerks, when they make these corrections, you know, often will do so in red ink. But the idea is that voters shouldn't have their ballots not counted just because of that really minor technical omission, and that it would actually, it's just not necessary to trouble the voter, you know, having to send the ballot back with the mail. You know, would you even have time to do that? And so the clerks have been fixing these very minor types of errors.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jack is with us in Lafarge. Jack, hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I agree with the professor on this because, again, we're looking for valid voters, okay? If the person is a valid voter, and it seems like you're saying that there's errors of omission, and the clerk can fix that, it's not like, oh, we're making up of a voter, or, you know, there's an illegal voter. Rather is that, you know, we want all the people who are, you know, able to vote, who are legal, to vote. And if there's just this minor error, why does that make that person illegal or their vote not count?
Jack, thanks for the call. And Rob, that takes us to Republicans in the state legislature saying this is a problem. What is the argument we're seeing from Republicans in the state legislature? A committee has said, actually, no, Wisconsin Elections Commission, you should not give this guidance.
Right. You know, so this became a sore point after the 2020 election. As I said, this guidance dates back to 2016. It was operative during the 2016 presidential election, elections in 2018, 2020, a lot of elections in between. But in that 2020 election, as part of broader concerns that were raised by President Trump and his allies about fairness in the electoral process, there was, concern that these kinds of errors in the absentee balloting process may be indicators of some irregularity. And so there's just been a desire to tighten the rules, even when we're dealing with some of these minor technicalities.
We are talking to Rob Yablon, Associate Professor of Law at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative, talking about this idea of ballot curing. The Wisconsin Elections Commission, as you heard, since 2016, has said, hey, election clerks around the state, you can cure these errors in like witness signatures if they leave off the zip code, for example. Republicans in the state legislature saying, no, that goes beyond state law. You shouldn't give this guidance. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, maybe your experiences. That's 800-642-1234. So, Rob, where are we now? We've got an election. People can start sending in absentee ballots. The Republican state lawmakers who are looking at this say, you can't do this. The Wisconsin Elections Commission, if I understand correctly, says, yeah, we can. What should voters know?
Yeah, you know, this is a little bit of a confusing situation, definitely not ideal. So, what happened is the legislature asked the Elections Commission to issue a more formal rule, administrative rule, that basically repeated their guidance. The Elections Commission did that earlier this year. And then just last week, a committee of the legislature invalidated that proposed rule. But what the Elections Commission is saying is that the invalidation of that rule doesn't affect the underlying guidance, which has been in effect for 6 years now. And so they say that is still the operative guidance. And I expect that a lot of clerks are going to continue to follow this guidance, although they're probably talking to their lawyers at the municipal level, trying to figure out exactly what they should do. Because as you say, you know, absentee voting is already happening for the August primary.
Let's bring on another caller now. Jack is with us in Caledonia. Jack, hi.
How you guys doing?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Jack?
Well, I'm sitting outside. I'm waiting for a van to show up for collect ballots for early voting, and I'm a election observer. Now, the thing I just want everybody to understand, everybody that's listening, WEAC, Wisconsin Election Commission, okay, is not a governing body. They don't have the legal means to change law. Okay. Our legislatures do that. Okay. So just because they say, you know, you can jump on your one foot and sign your name this way and it's legal and don't worry about putting your address on there. You know, it all these changes that they want to do, it doesn't go with what Wisconsin state election laws are. Okay. Even if somebody says it's okay to do that, it's not okay to do it. It's a down ballot. Only the voter can come and change something on there. Well, I forgot my zip code. Well, you have to go back and take care of it because that's the law. Change the law, and then it's okay. But right now, we have to follow election laws, and people are finding every way not to, okay?
Jack, you know, thanks. I got you. Thanks a lot for the call. Rob, Jack saying Wisconsin Election Commission can implement the laws that exist. They can't change them. And he says they're changing the law if they allow someone other than the voter to fix that witness address.
Well, that's the question. You know, so he is correct that the job of the Elections Commission is to implement the law. And sometimes the law isn't clear. And when the law is unclear and you have, 1,800 municipal clerks that need to make judgments, it's helpful for the Elections Commission to be able to step in and offer some uniform guidance. Now, what the legislature is arguing is that it is, in fact, clear to them that that clerks don't have this power under existing law. And so they're arguing that the commission's guidance isn't proper. And the commission's response, and I think a lot of the clerks who are trying to implement the elections might say, well, really, the law to us isn't clear, and it's helpful for us to get guidance which is meant to implement existing law rather than change it. But that's really the dispute here. Is that what the Elections Commission is doing? Are they just implementing existing law, which is totally proper, or are they changing the law, which is not proper?
Jack, thanks for that call. We're talking to Rob Yablon, Associate Professor of Law at UW-Madison, Co-Director of the State Democracy Research Initiative, looking at ballot curing, how it works, why Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin want to end one version of ballot curing, saying election offices can't add that missing, for example, witness address information onto the ballot envelope. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you voted absentee by mail, early in person in past elections? Do you know what to do if your ballot has an error? Have you ever had a problem with incomplete information? Do you work on the other side of things as an election clerk yourself? What do you know? What do you wish you knew? Are there still gray areas? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about Wisconsin's election rules, focusing on the practice of ballot curing. When there's an error on the election, say witness address information on an absentee ballot isn't complete, does the voter have to be the one to add that, or the witness themselves? Or if they can find it easily, can an elections clerk fill that out? Rob Yablon is with us from UW-Madison's State Democracy Research Initiative. You could join in with your thoughts, your questions, your experiences as a voter or an election clerk. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Rob, as we mentioned, there's an election going on right now, absentee voting. What is a local election clerk supposed to do? I want to give a listen to Claire Woodall-Vogue, director of the Milwaukee Elections Commission. She told WPR last week they've had to stop processing certain ballots until they talk to the city attorney.
What do we do with the ballots that we have already cured? And then what do we do now that we have a new rule, possibly, or a new procedure this close to the election, and when mailing a ballot back to a voter might risk us receiving it in time to be counted?
What is a clerk to do, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, she is encapsulating very well the dilemma that clerks are facing right now. And you know, as she indicated, they're going to be getting legal advice and they'll have to make some decisions because that Wisconsin Elections Commission guidance has not been removed. I suspect that many clerks will make the judgment that they can continue to do what they've been doing in past years and complete that missing information. But it's not clear that all clerks will do that. I suspect that we will see some controversy during and after the election on this. And it's an unfortunate position to be in. You usually want to get the law clarified in advance of voting. But we are at a time now when voting is happening and we don't know exactly how this is going to turn out.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Well, I believe there's a really common sense solution to this. The corrections on the outside of the envelope are really immaterial. What counts is the integrity of the ballot inside. So, fine, correct errors and compare it to the voting roll and inform the people involved of what their address actually is. But beyond this, it seems to me that the Republicans are questioning everything about our elections except for their own victories. And I think people better look at some of their gerrymandered districts and their own vote packing and fundraising and everything else. They're really destroying a system that has worked for a good long time here.
Tom, thanks for the call. Tom, I think Rob sees this vote curing thing as one element in wider efforts to raise questions about our elections.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of folks probably view what's happening here as part of a larger effort by those in power to tilt the electoral playing field in their favor. One account that you can have of what's going on is that the Republicans in the legislature have made a judgment that there are likely to be more Democrats than Republicans that are voting absentee. And so if they can tighten those rules in a way that makes it harder for those absentee ballots to count, that will be a net gain for Republicans. Now, you know, empirically, we'll see whether that's true or not. Unfortunately, you know, they are probably going to have some of their own supporters who have their votes thrown out based on very minor technicalities. You know, I think what the caller was getting at in part is if you can discern that this was in fact the intent of the voter, if you have no reason to think that there was fraud or some other irregularity going on, you really ought to want that vote to be counted. And unfortunately, you know, some of the wrangling that we see now might mean that more of these votes get thrown out.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Rob Yablon is with us from the law school at UW-Madison, looking at vote curing, a dispute between Republican leaders in the legislature and Wisconsin's Election Commission over guidance that says election clerks can complete some missing address information, especially on those witness signatures on absentee ballots. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. For that person voting absentee, Rob, I guess the easy way to get around all this is make sure all your information is there. Do you see enough public awareness, voter education out there to make sure that people do this so it doesn't become an issue in the first place?
You know, of course, there could always be more. I hope that the word is getting out there. I know that there are a lot of municipal clerks that that do a lot, you know, and really try to educate voters on this. And, you know, I think it is just important to say, be careful, take the time when you're filling out those certificates and your absentee ballot to make sure that you really are dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's, just following the instructions carefully. You know, there are ways that you can track your absentee ballot if you go to myvote.wi.gov to make sure that it has been processed correctly. And to the extent that people really have concerns about the absentee ballot process and they're able to do so, you know, one thing to note is that starting today, we are now in an early in-person voting period. And so you are able to vote in person, not just on election day, but, you know, depending on where you are at in the state, a number of the days between now and August 9th.
And when you do that, I guess there's a clerk there or the elections office will look at your ballot and you can find out right away if you're missing key information.
Right. You know, they will be right there with you. And in fact, I believe that, you know, in fact, that the clerk then becomes the witness for you.
Hopefully they'll know how to do that properly. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Now, you mentioned with some confusion over this, Rob, I mean, there's a concern that, as we saw with the 2020 presidential election, if those rules don't get resolved now, somebody might come back after we know the results and challenge them.
Right. You know, again, it is best to get all of this worked out before votes are cast, because then, you know, you're operating behind a curtain. You don't know who's going to win the race. You don't know how close it's going to be. But, you know, if we ended up with some very close races in these primaries, you may have challenges where there are disputes about whether particular absentee votes should be counted or not. You know, for example, the law is not crystal clear about how much of a witness address is required. The position that the Elections Commission has taken is that you need the street address, you need the municipality, but if you didn't write in WI, if you didn't write in the zip code, that's not necessary. Well, it's conceivable that someone could challenge that and say, actually, the failure even to include the zip code ought to invalidate the ballot. And it's just a shame that a lot of this, as I've said, remains unresolved while votes are being cast.
Time for one more caller. Alice is with us in New London. Alice, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Alice?
I don't understand what the problem is with absentee ballots. If you vote in person, there are two people at a desk. You give them your name. They look it up to see if you are a registered voter, and they mark that you came in and voted. If somebody voted a second time or instead of you, that would be known because they couldn't mark it twice. It would be impossible. Why don't they do that with absentee ballots? I don't know why they can't. I mean, it'd be the same thing as if they came in person. It'd take the same amount of time. All they have to do is have those books in front of them.
Alice, thanks for the call. And Rob, I believe the same procedure to double check to make sure that absentee ballot isn't somehow allowing somebody to vote twice. That does happen. The debate here is over this, again, that witness signature on the outside of the ballot and whether or not an incomplete address means that voter doesn't even get their vote counted once.
That's right. So, you know, to be clear, there are safeguards and protocols in place to make sure, for example, that someone isn't receiving or returning multiple absentee ballots, that someone isn't returning an absentee ballot and then also trying to cast a vote in person. I mean, you know, there are logbooks and so on that prevent that from happening. So, yes, the issue here is just what if there is one of these minor technical omissions on the ballot certificate? Should the ballot still count? Should the clerk be able to correct that error, or is that a ballot that should just be tossed aside uncounted?
Alice, thanks for that call. And just our last few moments, Rob, is this going to be as big a deal this year? 2020, a lot of people wanted to vote absentee because of COVID. I think people are less worried now. Do you anticipate this being such a huge part of our election this year?
Well, you know, I suspect that the absentee voting rate won't be quite as high as it was in 2020, but I anticipate that there still will be probably hundreds of thousands of votes that are cast absentee. And whether that becomes an issue in the aftermath of the election may just depend on how close the election ends up being, both the August 9th primary and then the election in November. And hopefully we will have, more of these questions answered by the time we get to November's general election.
Rob, thanks again for joining us.
Good to be with you.
That's Rob Yablon, Associate Professor of Law at UW-Madison, co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative, with us today to explain what ballot curing is and the debate over its use in Wisconsin elections. Coming up, we're asking you about movies. We want to hear about that movie you can watch anytime, no matter how many times you've already seen it. Get started now. Share your movie to rewatch on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@wpr.org. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we talk to the author of a new book looking at the turbulent history of mental health treatment in the United States and how it shapes the way we handle mental illness today. Now, sometimes you see a movie and you really like it, and that's it, you're done with it. But sometimes, if you're like me, you go back and watch it again. And maybe it doesn't stop there, you rewatch again and again over the years. Maybe it's not even the best movie, it could be a comfort film for you. We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. What is a movie that you keep watching time and time again? What is it you like about it? Do you have traditions attached to it with the family on a holiday when you're in a particular mood? How many times have you watched the movie? Has it changed over the years, your go-to re-watches? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@wpr.org. Let's go right to a caller to start things off. Rod is with us in La Crescent, Minnesota. Rod, hi.
Reverend, sir, I'd say you have to be the outlaw Joseph Wales, Clint Eastwood.
Sure.
And just about any Elvis movie, too, you know what I mean?
Elvis movies. Now, wait, are you doing a little Elvis right now?
No, I've been doing Elvis for about 15 years, you know what I mean? And he's a very good friend of mine.
All right. Can I presume, Rod, to ask you to just give us one line of vocals, sing a little bit for us?
I'll try and do that, sir. Yes and no, never come home with tight. Kiss me, my darling, remind so tonight. Now, tomorrow will be too late. Yes, no, never.
Now, Rod, I've heard rumors that Elvis is still alive. Are you the real deal?
I'm trying to live out here in the country and hiding out. You know what I mean? I really wouldn't like to sit there and get my place up. But otherwise, you know, Minnesota is a very nice little place, and Nashville was okay. But everybody sit there and they're taking on me and calling my name, trying to kiss me. You know what I mean?
I hear you, Rod. Thanks so much for getting us started, Rod. Quote: I love live radio. This is awesome. We're asking for your favorite movie to re-watch again and again. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Bruce joins us now in Iron County. Bruce, hi.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What are your re-watches?
Well, I've got three just kind of off the top of my head. My number one is Django. Mm-hmm. And I know the language and the substance is a little harsh, but I just find that period of time fascinating and how people treated other people, and I think DiCaprio and Christoph Waltz do a great job in that film. My number two is Inglourious Basterds with Brad Pitt, another Tarantino film.
Yep.
And then number three is just a classic, The Godfather, one or two. Watched them all a number of times, and I love them. Thanks for your time.
Bruce, thank you so much for sharing those at 800-642-1234. We asked around here at WPR and PBS Wisconsin. Marion Herzog, an audience services specialist at PBS Wisconsin, picked Ocean's 11. Now, this is the George Clooney, Brad Pitt one. Marion says, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I could put it on basically any time, still enjoy it. Love the snappy dialogue and the cinematography and the chemistry between the two main boys. Probably seen it 12 to 15 times. That is one I have watched a couple few times. My kids, too. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Mineral Point. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
What's your rewatch movie?
The Replacements with Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman.
I don't remember that. I have seen that zero times. Okay, go ahead. Not a great movie, you say.
It's not an award-winning movie, but it's one of those where the underdog wins. Everybody looked like they had fun making it. Uh-huh. It's just, I don't know, it just makes us feel good every time we watch it.
Interesting. What made that one stand out as well? Because you're saying, you know, that's maybe not the best movie ever. And I think this is probably true for a lot of people. It's maybe not the best movie, but there's something about it that brings you back to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, my husband and I both enjoy football, but it was just, I guess it's the underdog part of it. Mm. But again, we're both Hackman fans, and it just looked like they were having fun. Some of the lines in it are just, we quote them all the time. If we're scrolling through the TV screen and it's on, we usually stop right there and watch it. So
fantastic, Chris. Thank you so much for sharing that. We are asking you about your favorite movie or movies to watch again and again. What do you like to rewatch? Is there something you watch maybe a particular holiday every year when you get together with family or friends? 800-642-1234. Rachel Vasquez, producer on Central Time. One of her favorite newer movies to rewatch is Disney's Coco, a beautiful movie, Rachel says, with a great message, really awesome music. My three-year-old niece Luna, Rachel says, is the one who got me into it. She's a very big fan. One of the main reasons I love it, because it makes me think of my abuelita, who passed away years ago, who I miss a lot. We've got a little clip here without giving away a plot. This is from Coco, where the main character Miguel sings to his grandma a song passed down through their family.
So as of right now, this is a...
Nope, that's not the right clip. We'll figure that out, and we'll go back to your calls in the meantime at 800-642-1234. I was expecting singing there. Tom is with us in northern Wisconsin. Tom, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your movie, Tom?
My movie is Casablanca, one of the best of all times, I think. Humphrey Bogart, Ingrid Bergman, two great actors. Plus an exotic locale, suspense, love, and fighting against the Nazis. It's got it all.
All right. And, Tom, I got to ask, because one of my rewatches is adjacent to that, The Maltese Falcon. Compare and contrast. Do you like that one, too?
I do. I like everything that Bogart was in.
Excellent. Tom, thanks so much for sharing that at 800-642-1234. John joins us now in Chippewa Falls. John, hi.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good. What is your rewatch?
Well, you may not consider it a movie, but if anytime it's on, Lonesome Dove.
Oh, yeah. The miniseries. Sure, we'll call it a movie.
Yes. Yeah, I don't care if it's on Tuesday and then again on Friday, I'll watch it.
And that, how long is that whole thing put together?
I think about 10 hours.
Okay, wow. If you start it, do you have to finish it over the next week or so?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I'll binge watch it. In fact, my son's bought me the, I have the CDs of the whole compilation, but I don't watch that. I wait for it to come on TV.
There's a lot of great performers in that, John. Do you have a favorite actor or role in Lonesome Dove?
Oh, Robert Duvall.
Okay, I was going to guess Robert Duvall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just something about him, the way he is with the ladies. And
John, thanks a lot. Lonesome Dove, great pick. Let's go now to Cody in Chautauqua. Cody, hi.
Hey,
no, you're in Chautauqua. Okay, I got it. We had a funky spelling, but Chautauqua. Cody, what's up?
Not much. How about you?
Good. Not much. What is your movie?
I'd have to say mine would probably be Saving Private Ryan.
Ooh, that's pretty intense, man. What is it about Saving Private Ryan that keeps you coming back?
I don't know. I think it's just the first-hand look. You get to see, you know, what they all went through and how they were fighting and all the little stuff they tried to do to keep an edge on the enemy, you know, and just right up there up front, and just makes you appreciate everything everybody's doing
Gotcha.
You know, it's crazy. It gets you right in the feelers.
You know, that reminds me, one of my daughters, for some reason, latched onto the movie Dunkirk, the like early World War II movie, you know, the evacuating British troops from France. It's super intense. Have you seen that one? You could add that to your list.
Oh, I'll have to check that one out.
Dunkirk. Yeah, definitely. Cody, thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. Asking you for your favorite movies, miniseries, I guess if you want to throw in a TV series, to watch again and again over the years. Tim joins us next in Hollandale. Tim, hello.
Hey, best movie ever made was Where Were You in 1962, American Graffiti.
American Graffiti. Okay. What is it that keeps you coming back? Why is that your best movie?
It's all the muscle cars from the era I wish I was born in and wasn't. So it's just the interaction between the people, the drag racing, you know, just kind of the way, only a little bit of the way it was when I went to school, but didn't have that quite a cool cars.
And that was George Lucas, right? Of Star Wars fame, who directed that?
No, it was, I think it was.
Cool. All right, Tim, that is a great one. We are asking you to share your favorite movies to watch again and again. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with yours, or if you encounter a busy phone line, you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Got an email from Leah who writes, I can rewatch You've Got Mail over and over. Makes me think I can just pick up and move to the Upper West Side and wait for one anticipated email a day. And Jill Nadeau from The Larry Mueller Show also picks You've Got Mail, says it's a perfect remake of an old movie called Shop Around the Corner. You can join in again, 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. That song from Coco, a favorite movie to rewatch for Rachel Vasquez of Central Time. We are asking for your favorite movie or movies to rewatch again and again, maybe over the years. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Back to your calls now. Stuart is with us in Madison. Stuart, hi.
Hi. My favorite movie to watch over and over again is this movie called Flight of Dragons from the 80s.
I was in the 80s. I don't remember that one. Tell me about it, Stuart.
Yeah, so it's the same animators from the animated Lord of the Rings movies. It's got John Ritter and James Earl Jones. It's just really, really cheesy fantasy stuff. And my buddy in like ninth grade had a copy on VHS, and we would just always watch that movie over and over again.
Cool. And you still watch it?
Oh, yeah. I have a copy on my computer, always ready to go.
Do you share it with other people who may not have that attachment to it? If so, what is their response?
I do. Some people either absolutely love it or they think it's the worst movie they've ever seen.
That's awesome, Stuart. Thanks so much for sharing that. The memory, too. That's so important. Thank you for calling in at 800-642-1234. Jay joins us now in Milwaukee. Jay, hello.
Hi.
What's your movie or movies?
Well, there's four of them that I really love. Z, If, King of Hearts, and Harold and Maude.
Oh, Harold and Maude. Now, that was one of my wife's for a long time. She just recently, like in the last 2 months or so, rewatched Harold and Maude for the first time in years. What is it about that movie? I think that's a pretty common one for people to come back to.
It's a quirky movie, and it's got a very interesting sense of humor, and it's got a very interesting story. Plus, I love Cat Stevens' music.
Excellent. Yeah, there's a lot of Cat Stevens in that. Thanks for calling in, Jay, at 800-642-1234. Again, we asked around Wisconsin Public Media. Colleen Leahy from Central Time, producer, says, I'm not much of a rewatcher, but in French class in high school, our teacher made us watch Groundhog every year on Groundhog Day. So Colleen says, I've seen Groundhog Day 4 times in French. Not a fan. Back to your calls with the movies you actually enjoy watching again and again. Terry is with us in Milwaukee. Terry, hi.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. I love movies with principles. So my three picks, my top picks are It's a Wonderful Life, A Walk in the Clouds, and Frequency.
Now, It's a Wonderful Life, that's a real seasonal movie. Are you somebody who will watch it just, you know, in December, or is that one you'll watch any time of year?
No, you know, actually, I've never, even since the first time I've watched it, I've never viewed that movie as a Christmas movie.
Okay.
I just felt that it taught some powerful principles about a person's life and how they should not take for granted the impact that they have on other people.
Wonderful, Terry. Thank you so much. That's a great reason to rewatch movies, I think. Let's go to Preacher Kate in Madison. Preacher Kate, hi.
Good morning. It's morning somewhere.
Good morning, sure. Why not?
Why not? My top two favorite movies are Frozen River with Melissa Leo and Misty Upham. There's a woman producer and a woman director, and I don't remember their names, but it's a fabulous movie. And then my other one would be I'm drawing a blank. It's with Alfie Woodard and Mary McDonald, Passion Fish.
I was going to say, I'll cheat. You told our producer Passion Fish. Now, are these ones you'll pull out any time, or is there a particular like circumstance in which you'd watch these movies again?
Oh, anytime I want.
Excellent.
When I need a movie and I want to watch it, you know, I'll pull out one of those. And I've actually got 2 copies of each, and I have 2 copies of Harold and Maude and Young Frankenstein, and I pass them out to people. I bought them up when the video places were closing.
Oh, good thinking. Thank you so much. That's a great story. Thanks for sharing that with us. We heard from a couple people here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Michelle Good said, Frida, first of all, with Salma Hayek about Frida Kahlo, the artist. And we had a couple people mention Pride and Prejudice. That was Michelle and scrolling. Oh, Eva Marley, a membership specialist, the Keira Knightley, Matthew McFadden version of Pride and Prejudice. Eva said they had a habit of waking up at 3 a.m. on weekends to study and found that the film was just entertaining enough to keep us awake, but not so distracting we couldn't get work done. Well, as soon as we heard from 2 people, here's a listen to the Keira Knightley Pride and Prejudice.
If, however, your feelings have changed, I would have to tell you. You have bewitched me, body and soul, and I love, and love, and love you. I never wish to be parted from you from this day on.
You know, I finally read the book a couple years back, Pride and Prejudice. I really liked it. I should check out some of the movie incarnations. Let's go back to your calls now with your movies to watch again and again and again. Lori is with us in Milwaukee. Lori, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share with us, Lori? What movie do you have?
So I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but my movies that I will not turn off and just get excited when I see them come on are Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers with Ben Stiller.
Sure. Why be embarrassed? I say don't be embarrassed. What is it about those? They're funny movies, right?
they're funny movies, but it's just not what I would normally watch. So my wife has even been like, are you watching this again? And so, yeah, in our family, it's just kind of a joke when they see it on the TV. It makes me feel good. It makes me smile.
No judgment here, Lori. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. Trevor is with us now in Milwaukee. Trevor, what is your movie?
Hello. My movie that I like to rewatch a lot is Alien. Not quite sure which year, but with Sigourney Weaver, the first one specifically.
I don't remember the exact year, but I was young enough to where it probably scared me more than it might have if I'd been a little older than I watched it. I love that one. Now, Alien, you know, the aliens and the movies that came after it were really different. Is there something about the first one in particular that made you latch onto it?
The first one is like such a great fantasy sci-fi, like existential horror movie on the like inside, and you know, like monster, great actions like on the outside. The first one encapsulates all of it so well, and it's like, on a bad day, I'll just watch that movie and be like, yeah, my life's not that hard.
Yeah, I guess could be worse. You could have you could be John Hurt in Alien.
And the practical effects in the first movie for the time are amazing, outstanding.
Alien. Trevor, thank you so much for that. John joins us now in Stevens Point. John, you've got a movie for us.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I like Repo Man. I think that's one that I go back to kind of more than maybe I should. But
well, I blame society, John, but it still hurts. That's Repo Man, right?
Yeah,
just off the top of my head there. Yeah, I haven't seen that in years either, but I think that's like people consider that a cult film. I think a lot of people are in your boat rewatching it. What is it about Repo Man for you?
I like the balance of kind of surreal, but also when it came out, it sort of was about where I was at. So it was like it was the characters sort of reminded me of punk rocker people that I knew and stuff. So it was, nice. It kind of just fit. And then it was also had Dennis Hopper. So that doesn't hurt either.
Never go wrong with Dennis Hopper in a movie. John, thanks for that call. Dean is with us next in Eau Claire. Dean, hello.
Hi. A movie called Jeremiah Johnson is my favorite. I would watch it at least once a year, starring Robert Redford. I think it was back in 1972 or 1973.
And what is it about that one that latched you onto it?
The cinematography is excellent. It's got a really neat story about a fellow who I believe comes out of the Civil War, but I'm not exactly sure. But he goes out west and decides to try to be a mountain man.
Excellent. Dean, thank you for sharing. And Robert Redford's not a bad actor, right? He's all right.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Dean, thanks a lot for calling in. We are asking for your movies to rewatch. Time for a couple more of your calls. Courtney is with us in Shell Lake. Courtney, what do you have for us?
Circle of Friends with Minnie Driver and Chris O'Donnell.
Okay. I haven't seen that one myself. Give us a little taste of it. What is it? Why did it grab you?
Oh, it takes place in Ireland, and the cinematography is beautiful, and it's a lovely story about friends.
Great. And Ireland always gives you something to look at.
Yes, you can enjoy The Quiet Man at St. Patrick's Day every year, too.
Excellent. Courtney, thanks a lot for sharing that. Luann is on the line now in Green Bay. Luann, what is your rewatch movie?
It's Dave with Kevin Klein. It's, I think, the best political movie ever. And especially lately, I've been watching it and rewatching it and rewatching it.
Yeah, I don't think it's giving too much away. He ends up having to stand in for a president who he looks just like, but he's a normal dude.
Absolutely. He's an honorable guy.
Right.
Let's just put it that way.
Right. That is one I remember my parents and my little brother rewatching it. I watched it a time or two. That is a great one, Luann. Time for one more call. Heath is with us on the road. Heath, what are you going to share with us?
Well, I'm going to say Grumpy Old Men, because that is just a Midwest movie. It makes me feel good at the great actors.
And just across the river in Minnesota, Wabasa, Minnesota, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Excellent. Heath, thank you so much. Hey, thanks to everyone. Oh, more people are still calling in. We'll do this again sometime. Keep sharing your favorite movies to rewatch. You can email ideas@WPR.org or post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We can keep sharing your rewatchable movies through the course of the week. And we've got some more from our colleagues here at Wisconsin Public Media as well. Again, share your movies to rewatch on the Ideas Network Facebook page, and I'll share them, if any, on the air. Coming up, oh, by the way, we'll talk about new movies this Thursday. We'll look at the hot films of summer 2022 with our friend Reggie, the Real Critic. And tomorrow on the morning show, fire up the grill, get some great cookout advice, join with your own secrets and your questions. That's tomorrow morning at 8 here on the Ideas Network. Yesterday on the show, we listened back to an interview with Erica Okrent, a linguist, about her book, Highly Irregular, looking at some of the weird quirks of the English language, how they came to be. We heard from some more of you when we played it back. John from Madison says, I met a guy in Puerto Rico who said spelling was the hardest part of learning English. Agree. And in Spanish, grammar is the hardest part. I think I agree with that, too. And John wondered why the word walk has an L in it and why write, like writing things down, starts with a W. Now, I looked it up in the book. She mentions walk. The L is there because we used to pronounce it with the L. Walk. Walk this way. I guess talk this way. That faded over time. Spelling never caught up. And Stella from Sturgeon Bay listens to books on tape from England and notices the difference between colonel and lieutenant versus lieutenant. Now, colonel was in the book. The weird spelling of colonel, like the military rank, the strange pronunciation came from the use of French and Italian military manuals over the centuries. A long history of the word colonel. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.